Hey, it's WeZone. You're listening to Current Events, Politics, Presidents, and much more with Adam Lept and our official presidentologist, Dr. Ron Feinman, on a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor every Monday morning, starting a few minutes after 10, right here on WWGH 107.1.
We have rolled into a new month on the calendar, my friends, and as we often do during this time slot, about 10:13 a.m. to 11 Eastern Time. And if you're listening in California, well, make some more coffee because it's only about 13 minutes after 7 in the a.m. We call this show A Finer Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam and the Professor. Of course, Adam, that is I. But you know something, Professor? I think I sound just a little teeny tiny weeny bit older than I did last time I was on the air because I seem to have aged by another year. But, you know,
yes,
I don't...
you're now officially an old man.
I don't get old.
To get social housing or get 10% off at the theaters and restaurants.
Yeah, Rose's discount store now gives me 10% off on Wednesday. I've had the senior discount at Scioto Downs for quite a while. The big casino in Columbus now considers me to be an old-timer, and one of my favorite places to go here in Marion, the Ponderosa, all you can pig out and stuff in your face buffet, now gives me the senior citizen super discount during the afternoon. So thank you very much to my friends at Ponderosa. My stomach and my taste buds, thank you immensely. But yes, don't get older, I get better. And I think I sound a little better too, but that's good.
If you were to move to Florida, you'd be eligible for over 55 housing.
Well, that's lovely. I'll keep that in mind if I decide to go south. Anyway, we call this show A Finer Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam and the Professor on this June 3rd, 2019. Thank you very much for tuning us in today, as always. Now, Ron, you're going on a very, very brief sabbatical later in the month. I'm not sure if it's for Father's Day or Flag Day. I know Donald Trump likes Flag Day because he likes to hug the flag and, you know, being a father. Or maybe you're just celebrating my birthday a little bit too late. But for some reason...
Celebrate for Father's Day and my oldest son's birthday. He was born on Father's Day, so we're going away for a while. Yeah,
but you'll be out for a tad on one Monday.
Yeah,
as I've talked about on Facebook, I will be speaking with a substitute presidentologist, another person who's a scholar in presidential history, lore, rumors, humor, and who knows whatever else. Mr. Mike Purdy. Now, Mike has recently published, and it's actually kind of coming out now. But I got an advance copy, so. I guess I cheated a little bit. Book about presidential insults.
Yeah, this Friday it'll be out, yes.
And, you know, for those who think Donald Trump is the only president who likes to insult candidates, private citizens, sometimes his own staff members, former presidents, I think we're, even you, Ron, I think were a bit surprised that I wouldn't even say he was the most outspoken president or even the most vulgar. There are some segments in this book that I can't say on the radio. We're familiar with his fill-in-the-blank whole comment about other countries. But, you know, other presidents, even ones that we thought were rather classy, the Bushes, for example, we think of them as being fairly prim and proper. Well, you might be a bit surprised by reading this book. And I tell you, it's rated PG-13. But I encourage anybody to read it because it's presidential history is so important in this great country and anywhere in the world is – President.
Yeah, I think we should mention the name. It's 101 Presidential Insults, What They Really Thought About Each Other and What It Means to Us by Mike Purdy. And I met him. He was in South Florida a few weeks ago, and I got to meet with him, have lunch with him. He's a wonderful person, and he wrote a great book.
Yeah, and we'll be speaking with Mike about his book and about his history as a presidentologist later in the month when Ron goes on his sabbatical. And also tomorrow, and I will be repeating this segment, during my Computer Guy show, we're going to be talking about the book with Ron. That'll be also tomorrow and rebroadcast a couple times before I have Mike on the air. So you do want to catch that. This will be really interesting. Again, look on Amazon. It's about a 100-page book. It's a paperback, inexpensive. It's worth every nickel. Well, Mike sent me a free copy that he autographed, but believe me, I would gladly pay for the book myself. But I guess being at the station, we have some special privileges, Ron. I get a free autographed copy, but I do thank Mike.
Well, I also got a free autographed copy, and I sent him a copy of my book, and I autographed it when I saw him.
Yeah, well, those are the privileges, you know, like American Express membership or radio station ship has its privileges. But anyway, look on Amazon for 101 Presidential Insults by Mike Purdy. Purdy spelled the same way as a company that makes paintbrushes. It's not the same family, but that's kind of how it's spelled. And it's a Purdy good book, I guess.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, he lives in Seattle, Washington. So I joked with him. I said, you have to be that far away from where I am, the exact opposite end of the country, except for Hawaii and Alaska. You couldn't be further away. And we both laughed over that.
Yeah, well, it's good to have a few jokes. But yes, I would suggest go on Amazon and purchase the book. You can also go to presidentialhistory.com to find out about Mike and read the book. And again, Ron and I will be talking about it, critiquing it, giggling. I'm already trying to laugh looking at some of these quotes. And again, if you think that Donald Trump is the only president who has a potty mouth and is outspoken, you would be quite wrong. And I think you'd agree, Ron. Even again, the Bushes come to mind as recent presidents, and they're prim and proper. They are gentlemanly, something that I think Donald Trump could learn a lesson in. But you know what? We might be fooled a bit, because even the two Bushes, they don't mind uttering out a word that they may not want to say in front of their grandkids from time to time.
And, yes.
For example, just giving an idea of one of the things that a president said. Lyndon Johnson about Gerald Ford. And Jerry Ford is so dumb, he can't, I'm not even going to say this word because it's not a very nice word, and chew gum at the same time. And you can kind of think of what that word is. It starts with an F. It's not the...
It's ends with a T.
Yeah, it's kind of like a bodily function, but we're not going to talk about
that. The second letter is A.
Yeah, but bottom line is, even these presidents you think would be gentlemanly or ladylike, in the case of a first lady or a high cabinet office person, you might be surprised. But Ron and I will be talking about that in a segment tomorrow that I'm going to repeat. Mike Purdy and I, the author, will be on later this month. You've probably seen my Facebook previews and more to come. Don't want to miss that. Great radio all the time. We've added so many shows here. The Weasel program, you heard Weasel, of course, introduced me at the beginning of the show. We have special events. We have Scott and his famous celebrity interviews, and who knows? Who knows what else? Always a great time here at the Place for Talk. Well, now that I've finished doing my obligatory promotion, Ron and I will get down to business to talk about presidential topics, news topics, controversy, what the Donald and his lovely wife Melania are up to, and whatever else we can muster. And as usual, Ron, we're going to go through some of your recent blogs. On.
Yes, for 2 weeks, because last week when it was Memorial Day, we didn't have a show. Yeah. So it's 2 weeks since we've spoken. Yeah, yes.
ProgressiveProfessor.com. Listeners, if you've not already bookmarked that, I suggest that you do so, because it is a wonderful blogging site. And many times it's not really politically slanted left or right. Now, Ron tends to the left. He is more a Joe Biden, Bill Clinton type of left person, not Bernie Sanders or Kamala Harris. Thank God for that. A traditional Democrat.
Would you talk to me if I was?
Well, it would certainly be an intriguing show. Rumor has it that our mutual friend Mike Essen is going to be, refereeing, probably the best word, a debate between myself and someone who is a Sanders supporter. That certainly should be entertaining. We may submit
that. Yes,
that
I would like to get a copy of, too, yeah.
We may submit that to the Jerry Springer show, as it probably is going to be at that level. But no, Ron is a reasonable Democrat, and we've, again, found a few things that he even agrees with Donald Trump on. The woman who joined ISIS, for example, we talked about that. He certainly has an opinion divergent from AOC and other Democrats that are well known, agreeing with Donald that she shouldn't be let back in the country. And I certainly would agree with Donald and agree with Ron on that. Ron agrees with me partially on immigration. I would certainly say that I'm not as lenient as he is, but we both agree it needs to be reformed and looked at and made into a more modern policy. We agree on people issues, same-sex marriage, pro-choice, women's rights, environment.
Abortion is a big issue now with what's going on in all these states that are preventing even incest or rape as a reason for an abortion.
Well, since we only have 40 minutes for the show, and we did talk about abortion a couple weeks ago, because we like to talk about controversial topics. We're not afraid to talk about that stuff. We let it out in the open, and if you, the listener, are agreeing with us, if you're throwing rocks at your radio, or you're just saying, well, these guys have a lot of a lot of nerve to talk about things you don't normally hear on the radio. That's great. That's what we like to hear. We are, again, we are an innovative station. We're not afraid to delve into topics and allow you to make a decision. And hopefully what we've had to say will affect your decision. Ron has affected some of my principles, and that's how it is. If you don't grow, you cease to become a person who will improve him or herself. And as you've probably heard, Ron, minds are like parachutes. They only work if they're open. So let's get, you've heard that before, Ron, I'm sure. So let's go.
I was going to say, this past week I've been critical of Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell and Alan Dershowitz. So I picked on certain people.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But since we only have 40 minutes and I talk too fast anyway, let's go to a happy topic on your blog, Ron, and not one that's controversial. And this, I guess, has some personal significance because two things happened on June 1st, 39 years ago. A, in most states, I was old enough to get a driver's license. We're not going to talk about what age that was, but just do the math. And CNN was born. And as you know, CNN is one of my favorite news outlets. I'm a big Wolf Blitzer fan. I like his middle-of-the-road, form-your-own-viewpoint opinion. I like his old-school look, his old-school presentation. And that's the entire, I think, attitude of CNN. They tend slightly to the left, but they are, I would certainly say, more open-minded about issues on each side than the more liberal MSNBC and the infamous, more to the right, Fox News. And they always hire professional quality anchors. Of course, they were started by a pioneer in cable television, Mr. Ted Turner, former husband of, I think they got divorced, of Jane Fonda.
And, yes, they are divorced.
I think he may
talk
still
talk about that. His wife is 80 years old. Can you believe that?
Yeah. He's still I think he still partially owns the Atlanta Braves, or he did own the Atlanta Braves. But anyway, he's a very rich gentleman who's been an innovator in media. Love him or hate him, I do respect him for what he's done. And CNN has certainly influenced the other news outlets that have come into play. But in 1980, cable in its current form was in its infancy, and CNN remains to be a pioneer. And again, I do stress, they aren't as slanted one way or the other like MSNBC or Fox News, and I think we need more of that. Have professional quality anchors who will encourage people to make their own decisions. And bottom line is, on June 1st, 39 years ago, 1980, CNN was born. And I think it's been important, as Ron would agree. We need different types of news outlets. But as I said, I like the idea of one that isn't overly slanted one way or the other. You're right, Ron, in your blog, CNN has made mistakes and blunders, but it has also educated us mightily in the past 39 years and has been strengthened by a tyrant named Donald Trump, who claims that Channel and MSNBC, along with the three major networks, are fake news. And some news certainly is fake. It's over-dramatized, but as I indicated at least twice in the last 2 minutes, CNN, I think, is unbiased, and calling them fake news, I do think, is unfair. But I would say that I think you would agree, Ron, the news outlets that are slanted both ways, so we're talking about Fox and MSNBC, they may stretch things out of proportion, and I wouldn't say lie, but you need to read between the lines and make sure that what you're hearing is actually the truth. And we maybe need more outlets like CNN that just kind of tell it like it is and encourage different viewpoints and assume listeners and watchers are intelligent and make their own decisions. Do you agree with that, Ron, or am I being a little too kind to CNN?
No, I agree, but I must tell you, one of my readers on the blog, his name is D, the letter D like David, but it's just D, I don't know what else, he really is critical. If you look at the comments that he wrote on it, he had all these videos that he says show CNN is a corporate media, you know, he's on the left, obviously, corporate media controlled place, and that it distorts reality, and that a lot of it is fake news, and he's not agreeing with Trump, but he's saying that CNN is a disappointment. It's like 9 or 10 videos he put on that particular entry, if you look at it. And, you know, and I commented on it, because he is a big critic of CNN, and he claims the media are much too corporate-owned and corporate-controlled, which is true as far as corporate-owned, but I still think CNN does an overall good job, but not perfect, any more than the New York Times or Washington Post or OA Times, but I wouldn't want to do without them. You know, they really kept us free by having the ability to get their ideas across, and once in a while they're wrong, but I think they're still mostly positive forces.
Corporate owned is an issue in media right now. And, ironically, Ron, independent stations like ours We benefit from that. There's no secret that the big media companies, Cumulus, iHeart, etc., we're not really naming any specific stations, but people know what I'm getting at. They have made some changes which have not been good, and they are having financial issues and allowing independent stations like ours to flourish. And, you know, we already know we're the best, but I think it's making us better. So, ironically, yes, but we do like to see our news come from sources that are reliable. And kind of surprising, Ron, in that CNN, I would say you agree, tends slightly to the left. To me, yeah. they're within that middle of the road, gray area. But I'm kind of surprised your friend would say that. I'm not sure there's anything more reliable. I mean, Walter Cronkite, may he rest in peace. We need more people like that, but they're not.
Yeah.
They're not coming back. And
no, neither is Dan Rather, even, who's still around on I think XM Radio. I think he's on, but other than that, he's retired. And I always liked Dan Rather a lot too.
Yeah, and from his
always a CBS fan way back, but now I pay attention to the cable channels more than CBS, NBC,
from
ABC.
Dan Rather's writings, he tends quite a bit to the left, and I think you would agree, Ron. He didn't really seem either way when he was with 60 Minutes or with the Evening News. But I guess as an independent,
no, he got to conflict. Yeah. George H.W. Bush in 1988 and with Nixon in the 1970s when he was at a press conference and Nixon made a nasty comment to him and he says, and he reacted to it in a nasty way. So he is controversial, Dan Rather, but I've always liked him for some reason. Even though he is.
What a voice. I certainly admire these guys. Even if they may not always be in sync with my views, I still admire them. And that's why Wolf Blitzer, I think he's such a good role model, because you don't really think of him as going either way. Don Lemon also, who, of course
Don Scott, Lemon seems more to the left. A lot of people criticize him as too liberal. I like him. And also, also Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo's brother, who of course is on the
Don Lemon is.
I don't see a problem with it.
Yeah, I am a bit to the left, but again, within that gray area of middle of the road. And of course, he had a nice talk with Scott at the Republican convention in Cleveland a few years ago. Well, of course, the 2016, I guess.
Don Lemon?
Yeah, quite a long talk with the interviewer to the stars, Scott Spears. But what a surprise. Scott talks to.
Wow.
All these famous people, again, including the last audio interview with someone we, again, admire as someone who has been excellent for forming opinions. We just don't agree with her opinions. That would be Phyllis Schlafly.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yes. Scott had the last audio interview with her at the Republican National Convention, and he ran into Wolf in the men's room a couple of times. That was probably the most interesting story. So, yeah, we do rub elbows here, and that's all. It's all part of the fun, but yeah, we do.
I wanted to mention tomorrow, June 4th, is Ruth West time. It's Dr. Ruth's 91st birthday. Has she been on with Scott?
Dr. Ruth FaceTimer, she's been on with Scott several times.
And she even comes
because
in the studio occasionally.
She's going to be 91 on Tuesday, July. Yeah. That's amazing. So maybe you should
Dr. Ruth stopped by and she said thank you. Did you hear her?
Thank you very much, Dr. Feynman. You're a wonderful person.
So she, even
I just saw the documentary about her, about her life.
She even stopped by the studio here sometimes.
Betty White, did you ever interview Betty White, who's 97 plus?
Yeah, all these people we admire. I can't impersonate Betty White, but I can't tell you.
He's interviewed Betty White, Scott has?
I think at some time he did, yes. B. Arthur was actually his first person that he ever
interviewed. Oh, I love B. Arthur.
Yeah, so.
Betty White's 97, it's amazing,
I can't really... Can't impersonate Betty White as well as I do Dr. Ruth, but I can't tell you how much I admire
her. Yeah, by the way, talk about old people. You know who's a person I thought of just now as we're talking, if she's willing to do it, that Scott should interview? John McCain's mother, Rita, who is 107.
Scott's
Rita
oldest
McCain,
yeah,
guess how
was,
she feels about Donald Trump.
Yeah, as you remember, Virginia McLaurin, the lovely elderly lady, I think she was about 107 or 106, who danced with the Obamas. She was on with Scott. She was a great interview. So, we have...
But I'm saying, in the case of Rita McCain, I understand she's still very lucid, and she's 107, and I can't think of anybody much over 107 except Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, the environmentalist, who reached 108. To reach 107 and be a public figure,
because
her husband... son was a senator, and he had his mother till he died at 81. It's like, it would be interesting to interview, if she was interested, Roberta McCain. You know?
Yeah, well, don't put it past him. Again, Scott is the interviewer to the stars, and what we suggest listeners is listen every day, set your alarm clock, just cancel other plans between 12:13 p.m. and 2, Monday through Thursday, to hear what Scott is going to be talking about, whom he will be interviewing. I'm on the show from time to time, so I call in. So
actually, Roberta McCain, to see if he can maybe, if possible, if she's available. That would be a fascinating interview.
That would be intriguing with a capital I. So anyway, as we get back from our discussion, again, wishing a happy birthday to some people and organizations that I have great admiration for. Of course, Dr. Ruth, including my alter ego, where I sound a bit like Dr. Ruth. And we want to wish a happy birthday, which is the same birthday that I have. You know, Marilyn Monroe is also born on June 1st. You probably know that, Ron.
What? I didn't know. I didn't actually know it was June 1st. Wow.
Yeah. But yeah. CNN, now 39 years old, and let's have 39 more great years. They've done so much. And, you know, Ted Turner, a controversial gentleman, but he really was an innovator, and I do admire the guy. Anyway.
Yes, quite a character. But imagine this, Jane Fonda, whatever you think of her, with her political views long ago, she is 81 and a half, and my God, what she looks like. Unbelievable, you know, really. She looks wonderful. She looks so much younger, you know?
Yeah, well, I guess like yours truly, she does age quite gracefully. Yeah, workout tapes.
Ted Turner was 80. He's a year younger than her, a little younger than her, but he's 80. She's 80 also already, yeah.
Wonderful actress. Of course, a great acting family with Henry Fonda and Peter Fonda. And yes, workout tapes, and again, not bad looking, and definitely a power couple. I remember seeing the shots of her and Ted at Atlanta Braves games. So interesting people in history. So going back, Ron, to believe this was Thursday of last week. And I mean, before we get to the controversial stuff, one of your articles is about presidential stats. The average age of presidents is 55. Should Democrats choose a younger nominee? And now this time, Ron, as we've talked about, we have a very diverse, the most ever diverse
presidential. 37 to 79 at the time of the inauguration, they would be in age, yes. 37, well, actually be 39, 37 now. He'd be 39, Pete Buttigieg, and Sanders would be 79, so it'd be a 40-year difference between the youngest and the oldest, 79 and 39, yes. Now they're 77 and 37.
Mayor Pete, late 30s, Bernie. He looks like he's 179, but he is would be 79. We have our favorite hair-smelling former VP, Mr. Biden, 77, 78-ish. We have Kamala Harris, mid-50s. We have Elizabeth Warren, late 60s.
And she'll be 71 at the time of the inauguration, so she'd also be older than Trump was when he was inaugurated. She'd be the oldest inaugurated president at the moment she took the oath, because he was 70.
A big range of ages, and the biggest ever. We're talking two generations, late 30s for Mayor Pete, late 70s for Mr. Sanders.
And Biden.
And, again, several in the middle, Harris being in the mid-50s, the typical average age.
Amy Klobuchar would be 60 at that point, at the inauguration. Yeah, the average, though, is 55. So if you actually look at the list, I think about half of them are 55 or under, and half of them are 55 and older. But the average age has been 55 if you count all 44 presidents. You know?
Yeah, you look, Ron, at some recent elections, and we're seeing that the age gaps are getting wider. Obama, 25 years younger than McCain in 08. 92, about one generation. Bill Clinton, 22 years younger than George Bush, number one. And about half a generation, 11 years between President Peanut, Jimmy Carter, and Jerry Ford in the bicentennial year of 1976. So we're seeing a wider gap, but I think it's that people are living longer, you know, 60s, the new 50, all that good stuff, and more diversity. Not necessarily, as we say, old white men who are becoming president. We have all races. We have male and females, and combinations of demographics to make it reflect more of of our country at a whole, and that's what we should have.
And if Trump was opposed by Pete, there'd be a 35-year difference. He'd be 74 at that point, and he should be, and Pete would be 39. That's the biggest ever if that happened. The 35-year difference between the two candidates if Pete runs against Donald.
Yeah, that would. I'm not sure. Would Pete call Donald Grandpa, or what might be the case? I'm sure whatever it'll be, it would be.
He would certainly bring up about being a veteran and how, of course, Trump evaded the draft. He's already brought it up, and Trump does not attack him, does not react to it, because what can he say? He's finally had something said against him. What is he going to say?
Pete really should debate Melania because they both speak multiple languages. Why should he? Is that fair to Donald? Because Pete speaks seven languages. He could be saying something in a language Donald doesn't understand, and Donald wouldn't have a way to get back at him. So I think, Melania and Pete, they're fairly close in age, and that might be an interesting. They both have pretty nice hair, too, I think. So,
well, by 10 years different. I think Melania is 49 or 50, so by 12 years.
She looks pretty good, though, doesn't she?
Well, yes, but I bet she's had work done. I have a feeling that's why she was out for a while without explanation. I think she had some plastic surgery.
She wears a little too much eye makeup, but she doesn't look too bad. I'll say that much. But that's not the only thing we judge her on. But I do think, again, with Jackie Kennedy as an example, the First Lady should be glamorous, should project a classy nature, and I don't care if Melania was a porn star. If you look like that, you probably should be a porn star, and you can't beat the money. I think she is a classy, smart person. She's in a difficult position. I think she is a good mother to Barron, and being married to Donald Trump, my hat goes off to her. That doesn't sound like an easy thing to do. So,
Well, I guess the question that somebody might bring up if Pete runs against him is this. Who would he prefer as the person behind the president? Would he prefer Melania or Chastin?
Well, that might be interesting fodder for talk shows, for Facebook memes, and even the Jerry Springer show. And
because that could be what happens,
But whatever the case is, this will be a lively, ad-filled, tirade-filled, mud-slinging election, and it's already starting out that way. But bottom line is, Ron, we have a tremendous diversity in many demographics, not just age, coming up, and we don't know who's going to win. Mayor Pete has some steam. He has some very dedicated followers, but I think we both agree it will be old reliable. It'll be Joe Biden, and I do believe that Biden, assuming he doesn't make a stupid choice for VP or say some of the things that sometimes he's famous for saying that he shouldn't be saying, I think he can beat Donald. And Donald has his followers, and many people, myself included, have some things about Donald they find appealing, some things they find unappealing, and in general kind of find the guy to be a character who, love him or hate him, you have to admire that he does elicit a giggle or two and does cause people to be interested in our government and our history, which, as we talked about, is a good thing. But we shall see when the debates come to pass. And I think
one thing to sober us about Joe Biden's big lead is if you look back in the past at the third year of a term about who's going to be the nominee the next year of the party, not in the White House or whatever, it always ends up not being the person who's ahead. So we go back to, for instance, 2003 in the Democratic Party, Howard Dean was leading. Nobody thought John Kerry was going to be the nominee. And then, of course, in 2007, Hillary was leading, not Barack Obama. And in 2011, the Republicans had Herman Cain ahead, and Mitt Romney ended up the nominee. So you really don't know what's going to happen. The odds are, and even Rudy Giuliani was ahead in 2007 instead of John McCain. So you really can't be sure what's going to happen. It's too early to say.
Ron, I don't think it's a good thing if your name contains Cain. We have Tim Cain, the previously mentioned Cain, and John McCain. And so if your name is Cain, and you want to be president.
Herman Cain, who was the head of the Republican Party briefly in the year 11,
You probably should change your name. That Cain, I think, is a jinx.
Cain and Abel, I know what you're getting at.
Right, well, Cain is not able to be president. We've had three people with Cain in their name who have not ascended to the White House or the VP mansion, whatever that's called.
Yeah, do you know what I'm tempted to say when I joke in class and I do a joke that's not seen as funny? People say, don't give up your day job.
Exactly. So anyway, we're talking to Professor Ronald L. Feynman from his domicile in Boca Raton in Florida on a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam, who is I, and the professor. We haven't talked a lot of controversial stuff, Ron, or anything where we've talked about things we agree with, but really they've not been something we wouldn't expect to be agreeing on. We both salute CNN. We both admire Ted Turner, even if we know he sometimes rattles people's cages. We both admire his lovely, talented, and rich ex-wife, Jane Fonda. So one thing you wrote yesterday, we want to go one state south to the beautiful bluegrass state of Kentucky to the famous/infamous Mitch McConnell. Were you right, Ron, that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky clearly is the most evil man in the Senate, setting out to destroy the legal system and legal precedents that, Ron, I think I found a typo in your blog.
I see it now. We'll have to add the word "have." Ooh.
Well, after the show, we'll fix it. So rush to your computers if you want to catch this in action. That have been accomplished over many decades and administrations. And, you know, we, interestingly here, you know, Ohio is such an interesting state, Ron. We, you know, we talked about our governor, who and again, due to some things that he's done in office, I will not be afraid to say I can't stand him. I used to say I admired Mr. What is his name? Yes, Mike DeWine. I'm just trying to forget his name because I really don't like the guy. I still admire his long record of service as a politician, but he has done some things. And what are they? Well, the heartbeat bill, the large increase in gas taxes, which we're going to have, but not quite as bad as it was going to be. And I don't really find the guy appealing at all. Again, I wasn't expecting to be a big fan of his, as I certainly preferred Cordray, but even he is disappointed. So bottom line is, in general, Ohio, we don't seem to have that much controversy in a state as a whole, although I think with this current administration that may be changing. But we're the big swing state where if you don't win Ohio, you may not be president. And it seems like every couple days a presidential candidate is stopping somewhere in the great Buckeye State. But
also Tim Ryan, congressman from Youngstown, is one of the candidates for president. So you know, he's a moderate, so he's also running. I wanted to mention, I made that correction on the McConnell article just now.
So interestingly, the states that border Ohio, and we're talking about Indiana and Kentucky to our south and west, they've been providing a lot of controversy and a lot of talk, a lot of left versus right discussion. So we're really in the hotbed here. For those who think the Midwest is quiet and sleepy, well, they're quite mistaken. We've talked about Indiana. Of course, that's where Mayor Pete is from. Of course, a vice president, a rather controversial character himself, Mr. Pence. The former vice president, Dan Quayle, who Ron and I agree, wasn't the most well-known or even the best VP of all time, but he's more intelligent than he's given credit for, and he's kind of faded into obscurity. But he's not a bad guy. I think just like his boss, President Bush number one, he was underrated. I mean, not a bad man, but he's not going to win any IQ tests anytime soon.
And I wanted to mention, as I mentioned before, in theory, if Pete ends up the running mate of whoever, then it could be a debate between Pence and Pete, both from Indiana, and oh, boy, do they have differences, you know?
Yeah, to think of two politicians so different from the same state. But that's politics for you. You never quite know. Anyway, going south to the beautiful bluegrass state of Kentucky, a state I love to travel to. Kentucky has nice roads, people are friendly, and the cost of living is low. I tell you, Kentucky offers a lot more than many people think it does. And from the Cincinnati suburbs to Louisville, to the lakes in the south part of the state, the mountains in the east. Well, not quite as beautiful as the Kentucky lakes and mountains as we have one of your least favorite people, Ron, Senator Mitch McConnell, who you wrote about yesterday. His corruption is out of control. His wife, Secretary of Transportation Elaine Chao, has clearly been involved in corrupt financial actions while working for Donald Trump. And this power couple should not be able to have such power and influence with the obvious conflict of interest that promotes their support of Donald Trump and unwillingness on the part of McConnell to challenge the president on his abuse of power and obstruction of justice. That's a nice long sentence. That's what my English teacher used to call a run-on sentence. But, you know, it's okay because I write big sentences,
maybe it
too.
Should be changed, yeah.
Big sentences come from people with big IQs. But bottom line is, Ron, joking aside and geographical references aside, what is your big beef with Mr. McConnell?
Well, the fact that he's promoting as many circuit court and district court appointments, ramming them through the Senate almost without hearings, and that's going to be a long-term damage to the whole legal system, and it's going to set us back on a lot of the changes that have come about under many different presidents over the last 100 years, really, because these courts are being made so right-wing now, and without any real debate, and some of these people are totally unqualified, like Wendy Vitter, the wife of the former Louisiana Senator David Vitter, who doesn't even believe in the Brown v. Board of Education case of 1954, and this kind of woman should not be on the, on the district courts. And there's so many cases of people being appointed that are being rammed through without even much of a hearing because of the Republicans controlling 53 seats. And it's a lifetime appointment, so that's what's bad about it.
So your general opinion about Mr. McConnell, Ron, is that he's not professional. He thinks he's king and can just do things and let them slip through without following the proper procedure. And his wife seems to do some of the same types of things.
Yeah, she always has a terrible reputation as far as personality. Let's just say I've read many people have said she is a five-letter word starting with B and ending with H. So I'm just saying that's what people, her reputation anyway, is. She's a hard-nosed woman from, from the Orient. She's Asian-American, and she's not a nice person is what I've read.
That would be kind of like the bodily function we talked about earlier, beginning with F and ending in T. Just go ahead and fill in the blanks. So have a few minutes left to the show, Ron, and we thank you again for being with us, as always, and we've barely scratch the surface, but why would there possibly be a reason for that not to happen?
I just changed that sentence that was too long. I made it two sentences, so I made that change. I did want to bring up about Lindsey Graham, how he's really gone away from the John McCain viewpoint he always had, and he's allowed Trump to attack McCain even recently and just ignore it, and I think that makes him also disgraceful.
You know how I like to talk about demographics, not just among presidents, but among our people. From May 24th, yeah. A different America in 2040. And I hate to think what birthday I'll be celebrating in 2040, but it'll be it'll be a very patriotic one. Let's put it that way. Do the math on your own there. More young minorities, more Muslims than Jews, older average age population. You're right. This blogger was born in New York City as a minority, a Jew in a primarily Protestant white America, with large percentages of Italian and Irish Catholics as the so-called minority, along with Jewish people. Yes, there were some African Americans in my graduating class, along with a few Puerto Ricans and Asian Americans, and even one Native American young man. But the future is that there will be more Muslims than Jews in the population. That seems, that's very eye-opening, especially
in the East. In a country, the majority of people being Latino, Asian, or African-American ethnicity, yes.
Yeah, especially on the East Coast. That definitely...
And the West Coast, too.
Yeah. That definitely is an eye-opener. So the future, bottom line, is not the racist, nativist, white supremacist, anti-Semitic, and Islamophobic message sent by Trump supporters, who also wish to control women and gays and lesbians, but rather to embrace the diversity of our nation and lead the world in tolerance. This is something I wish for, as I am now part of the aging population that wants a great future for the nation he loves. You know, at age 95, Ron, you'll still be going strong. You will still be on the radio, sounding great,
so.
Teaching, and still looking quite dapper, if I should say so.
Yeah, and still being on WWGH every Monday.
I have no reason to change that. So times are changing, folks, and we'll see how things pan out. That's all, again, part of the fun of living in this great great world we live in the United States. And talked about, Ohio, a swing state. I think a bit more controversy in our government than there has been with DeWine, who certainly has lit a spark. Again, I've heard what I have to say about the guy, and again, I didn't think I'd be a big fan, but even he has disappointed. And again, the states bordering us, Kentucky and Indiana, where their politics, people in office there have really made an impression and will continue to do so. And again, it's definitely good for the talk radio and news media business. And if, again, no matter how you feel, no matter what side of the fence you're on, it will encourage people to become interested in the history of this great country and make a difference and get out and vote and be proud of being an American and learn more about the country that we live in and we love. So there's my plug as a proud American. And hopefully this show will pique other people's interest in what's going on in the world around us. Agree with us, don't agree with us, but make your own decision. Invite some dialogue. Encourage your family members and children to become involved in the process and learn more about the soil that we step on every day. So just with a couple minutes left in the program, Ron, you wrote last week, Donald Trump does the unforgivable, attacks Joe Biden and Barack Obama on foreign soil, and lies about the Obama-Biden economic record. Now, there have been a lot of controversial dialogues, discussions, Ron, about the economy and unemployment and health care. And, you know, you and I don't agree on all of it. We agree on some. And I think the general principle we agree on, just not a lot of the specifics. And, you know, he said, she said, what did Obama do to invigorate or worsen the economy? What has Donald Trump done? You're right, Ron, calling Biden a low IQ individual, agreeing with totalitarian dictator Kim Jong-un of North, I like that word though, Kim Jong-un of North Korea, and claiming that both Obama and Biden presided over a disastrous administration in every way. The massive lie about Obama, Biden, and the economy is beyond belief when the facts are that Obama presided over the greatest economic recovery in American history. From 10% unemployment, the worst in 70 years in 2009, to where we may be now. But as we see it, Ron, gas prices are fairly stable. They're still in approximately mid $2 range, depending upon where you live. Ohio has some of the cheapest gas prices, so it depends kind of where you are and even which city you're in. And unemployment is down. Do you still really not feel that Donald Trump has been good for the economy, or can you at least admit?
I don't think he's been good in the sense that's unusual, because I think this extra 1% that has gone down the unemployment would have occurred under Hillary Clinton. And right now, with his war on China and Mexico tariff-wise, we're going to end up in a depression if he continues right. this. So I think the economy is going to go downhill with the tariff moves that he's just made. So he claims a 1% increase from 4.7 to 3.6. It's great, but I don't see how it wouldn't have happened under Hillary Clinton. The fact is, it was Obama's administration that saw the greatest recovery ever, better than FDR before World War II came on, because it was not as good with the economy's recovery under the New Deal. World War II solved it. Well, we didn't go into a major war under Obama. We were in Afghanistan, but not a major conflict.
So we will leave it at that, folks. That is Ron's plug. He is obviously a fan of Mr. Obama. And although he and I both enjoy the humor of Donald Trump and enjoy that he does encourage people to be interested in our great country, I wouldn't say that Ron is ready as of yet to become the president of the Florida division of the Donald Trump fan club. So we'll just
No way, Jose.
But we do agree, again, he does encourage people to be interested in politics and history more than, for example, either George Bush. And I think that's a good thing. Love him or hate him, form your own opinion. But I think Donald Trump has really encouraged people to take interest in where they are, form opinions, and, you know, get out and vote. Be a good American, and that's a good thing. So we will on that note, we are going to conclude the program. Boy, the time just flies when you're having fun.
Yes, it does.
As my mama always told me. But we shall be back very soon, more than likely next week, with another adventure into the world of politics, current events, and who knows, whatever else. Be sure to listen tomorrow as Ron and I talk about Mike Purdy's great and very humorous and educational book about presidential insults, other presidents with potty mouths, and all that good stuff. Thanks again for listening to...
Thank you so much again for inviting me. I had a great time.
To a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the Professor here on The Talking Place. WWGH Radio.